chapter number 4. I just want to stay with the flow of things. Don't want to hinder what the Lord is going to do. I had to miss last night a death in our church there. But the preaching was well handled. You folks have heard enough Bible preaching between Brother Brian McBride and Sam Davis and Brother Caudill. You got a lot to answer for at the judgment seat. Preaching of the Word of God. And I've been waiting all year for this sermon. I've worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. And I said, I'll go down there to Milton this year and I'm going to finally show them I got one good sermon. I worked on that thing a year. I couldn't hardly wait. And the Lord's going to have to let you ask me to come back so I can preach it next year. But I want to follow the Lord. I love being in a service where you know God is in the midst. There's not a family in this room tonight, including my own, that hasn't had to walk through some dark, hard places. But I'm glad tonight that God is still good. He's great. He's wonderful. And at my best, God loves me. At my worst, God loves me. When I'm everything I ought to be, He loves me. When I'm nothing that I ought to be, He still loves me. And I just want to go through these verses right here and just give you a little thought or two. And I want them to come back and sing that song again. I'm glad you can trust God, buddy, when you can't trust anybody else. I love you, Pastor. God is doing something wonderful. Amen. God is doing something wonderful. Ralph Sexton Sr. says, hey, children, we're on the little end of something big. And I'm glad God is up to good things. Mark chapter number 4, a very familiar text. It's what I call a storm text. One of these storms that breaks loose. And I'm glad that He is the wave walker. I'm glad He is the peace speaker. I'm glad He is the song singer. I'm glad He is the need meter. I'm glad He lowers the mountains and exalts the valley. I'm glad He's God. Now this storm text comes in a time of darkness. Said it was evening time. There'll be some dark places in your life. Some dark stuff. It takes place in a time of danger. The Bible said the boat was full. Now when the boat's in the water, everything's all right. The water gets in the boat, you got trouble. And you're going to have some dangerous times. Said it was full. You ever got full of it? You ever said, I've had it up to here, I'm about full of it? It's a time of danger, time of darkness. But this text is a time of doubt. They woke up the Lord and asked Him, don't you care? Now, I heard one of them high-powered preachers say one time, he never did doubt. I wrote him a letter and said, pray for the rest of us. In fact, that high-powered preacher said, if you doubt, I doubt you. I doubt him. I'll tell you one thing, he may never doubt, but he told a whopping lie one time in his life. Because even John the Baptist said, go ask him. How would you like been that person to go ask Jesus? I tell you what I'd have done. I'd have said, Jesus, it ain't me now. It ain't me. I got this friend of mine. It ain't me, but it's my friend. But I'm glad Jesus didn't rebuke him. He said, you go back and tell him, blind seeing, lame's walking, everything's on time. And by the way, go back and tell him I said about him, there's not a man born a woman any greater than that guy. He doubted. He questioned. And the disciples woke Jesus up and says, carest thou not that we perish? It was a time of doubt. It couldn't get much better. It couldn't get much worse until it got better. But there's a little phrase that's just getting bigger and bigger in my soul. In verse number 38. Chapter number 4 and verse number 38. And the Bible said, and he, Jesus, aren't you glad, praise God, Jesus is on board. In fact, he was on board before they ever left. And you better not sail without him or you'll be in trouble. But it said in verse number 38, and he was in, where? The hinder part of the ship, asleep. Now, number one, that does not mean that he's unaware. That does not mean that he's unconcerned. That doesn't mean that he doesn't care. That means he's not tore up and he's not worried because he knows what he is going to do. And let me tell you tonight, when I don't know what to do and you don't know what to do, he always knows what he is going to do. But notice this phrase, and I like it. I wrote my Bible, run, right here. Verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep. Where? Sit with me. Asleep on a pillow. And that little word pillow is mentioned twice in your King James. Once in the old and once in the new. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, you remember that night when Jacob was running from God and he came to Bethel. God dropped that angel ladder on him and he saw the Lord. The Bible said he took a stone and used it for what? Pillow. And on that pillow, God revealed himself to him and said, Jacob, everything's going to be all right. Second time it's mentioned in the Bible is our text. Jesus is in this storm. Lightning's flashing, thunder rolling, winds are blowing. It's dark. It's terrible. It's bad. But Jesus is in that ship and he is asleep, laying his head on a pillow. He's got his head pillowed in the midst of that storm. So, if Jesus can pillow his head in the storm, you and I can pillow our head in the midst of the storm. I'm glad tonight the lightning may flash and the thunder may roll and the winds may blow. But I am pillowing my head in the midst of the storm. There are some things in this text you can rest on till the storm passes by. There are some things in this text you can pillow your head on till the storm clouds fade away. Look in verse number 33, you can pillow your head on His promises. Do you know what Jesus said before they ever set sail? He said, we're going to the other side. And can I remind you tonight, when the Master says, we're going to the other side, we're going. No matter what comes up between this side and the other side, when the Master said, we're going to the other side, we're going, and all the hell can't do nothing about it. Today, I preached a funeral, and they took me over there to the airport. I didn't walk in and say, well, I think I want to fly on a plane. No. I knew I needed to go to Pensacola, Florida. So I walked up to this gate that flashed Pensacola. There was a number beside it, the flight number and a time of departure. Now, if I wanted to get to Pensacola today, I needed to get on that flight. And I'm glad I got on that flight because I had a ticket on that flight that I hope somebody reimburses me for while I'm on that flight. Now, I didn't plan all of that. Somebody at Delta Airlines in a meeting of the minds predetermined that on this day of January, at a certain such time, at a certain such flight, flight number such and such is leaving Atlanta and going to Pensacola, and if you want to go there, get on board. I have just described to you the great wonderful doctrine of predestination. God has never predetermined a man to miss heaven and die without God and go to hell. But God did predetermine that every soul that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will go to heaven someday. I got a ticket paid for at Calvary. I got on board. And hell or high water, live or die, sink or swim, I'm going there. I can rest on that in the midst of my storm. Woo! I can pillow my head on His promises. Look down at the next verse, 1 Timothy 34. The Bible said, and I love this, as they were in that storm, in that ship, there were other little ships with them. I want to remind those disciples, hey boys, it might be bleak, it might be dark, it might be rough, but you're not the only one going through this storm. Therefore, you can pillow your head on His people. Don't ever get what I call the Lone Ranger Syndrome. I'm the only one with trouble. I'm the only one with heartache. I'm the only one with crazy kids. You look up at me, if you got kids, you got a crazy one somewhere. I've never understood what happens to people. They go to bed perfectly normal and wake up on their 13th birthday drinking 5 gallons of stupid. Yeah. Man, I'm the only one with crazy kids. I'm the only one with a troubled church. I'm the only one with a sickened body. I'm the only one with a bad marriage. I'm the only one with a broken heart. No, you're not the only one sailing across the sea or them other ships. They're battling the same wind. They're battling the same waves. They're battling the same storm. But the same God that walked out on their ship is the same God that will walk out on your ship. You can pillow your head in that tonight. For Stuart Hamblin said it is no secret what God can do. For what is done for others, He can do for you. Other ships. Well, I see them disciples, Brother Brian, they're about wore out. They're toiling, they're rowing, they're sweating, their muscles are aching, the fog has settled in, and the darkness has settled in. But I want to say, boys, over yonder where you can't see, just beyond the fog, there's others battling that, there's others rowing that, and they're going to make it, and you're going to make it. May I say, take heart tonight, we're part of the family of God, and we weep together, and we hurt together, and we strive together, but one day Jesus is coming and we're going home together and we'll shout together, I'm glad we're going to make it through. And you can pillow your head tonight on them other ships, them little ships. Pillow your head on God's people. Number three, notice the next verse. The Bible said they took Him even as He, I love this, was in the ship. He was on the ship before they got in the ship. You know why the first invitation in the Bible, God said to Noah, come in. He didn't say go in. You say, well, what's the difference, brother, between a going and a coming? That depends on who's initiating the invitation. If you come to my house someday when I'm home, that'll be a rarity, but if you come to my house when I'm home and you ring my doorbell and I'm inside, I will open the door and say, come in. Because I'm already there. I believe they sang a while ago, fear not tomorrow, God is already there. Lord have mercy, I feel like preaching right there. Because you can't go anywhere where God's not already at. You can't go anywhere where God's not already been. He was not there before you left from the last place. I'm telling you, He was already in the ship. He was already in the ship. He was in the ship. His presence, His presence, His presence. You can pillow your head on that. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Watch this. He was in the hind part of the ship. Several years ago, I went to the Holy Land, Miss Arthur and I, and several other good Christian people. I didn't mean she wasn't a Christian, but I mean there was other Christian. Well, anyway, we went to the Holy Land. And I love being, you ever been there? I love being at the Sea of Galilee. Now, I don't know about that fish with all them eyeballs looking at me. I don't believe I enjoyed that too much. Looked like a Baptist to me. I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. But I remember going on that ship. And they said this is kind of what Jesus was on. We got back in the Sea of that Galilee. And I noticed from behind a part of that ship, right up next to the back of the ship, was this box. And the guy on that ship had a little pillow, a little blanket on that box. And I noticed when I got on that ship, one of those guys on that thing was kind of stretched out across there, taking him a afternoon, siesta or nap or whatever you say over there. And inside that box, I found out inside that box, you know what's inside that box? Some gears. Do you know what them gears are to? That little rudder that sticks out the back of that ship that controls, well, glory, that controls the direction where that little boat is going to go. Jesus was not only in the ship. He was in the hind part of the ship, on top of the gearbox. Hey, He's not only on the boat, He's in control of the boat. He's not only on board, but He's control of everybody else on board. And can I remind you, when things are going topsy-turvy and things are going wild in your life, He is still in control. He is God. He is God. He is God. And He's still in control. For the Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm. You can pillow your head on that. You can pillow your head on that. His presence is in control. Notice the next verse. The Bible said when they awake the Master, the Bible said, watch this, He arose. Did you know there are two times in the passage where that arose is mentioned? It says in the first part of the text, there arose a great storm of wind. Oh, but then it said, He arose. Aren't you glad when a crisis arises, the Christ of the crisis arises greater? Lord have mercy. When the wind got up, He got up. When the trouble got up, He got up. When problems got up, He got up. And Bennett picks up when He gets up. He arose. Oh, aren't you glad early one Easter Sunday morning on the other side of bloody Calvary? He arose! And in your life when you need God the most, He'll be there. He'll be there. The Bible said He arose and rebuked the wind. You'd say, what gave Him the authority to do that? He created it. He brought it into existence. Hey, His power is unlimited. You can pillow your head tonight on His power. There's nothing that God cannot do. His power. He arose. And said, shh. And Brother Scott was talking about where he's from. I'm not from there, but my wife is from there. And I'm just from up the road from there. It ain't there. There. And it's not North Carolina. It's North Carolina. Florida. Alabama. Amen. We don't mind if Yankees come down here, but don't mess with the way we talk.
We're going to understand one another well. Praise the Lord. I preached up in Michigan the other day, and this lady said, "Well, Brother Arthur, awesome message tonight. Praise the Lord, man. God spoke to me." Okay? Wonderful. I preached that same sermon the next week in Mississippi, and it's a boy that, "Oh, that's good. I have a praise God, that's good right there." I think they both said the same thing. We made up words, phrases. And my daddy used to say, "Heish! Heish!" In Greek that means, "Shut up!" Up north that means, "Son, refrain yourself from speaking." It's the equivalent of a good old fashioned. How many of you had a daddy that could like, I don't ever remember a time out. I'm the one hollering, "Time out, time out, time out." Woo! You said, "Did he warp your personality?" No, he warped something else, baby doll, but it wasn't my personality. Daddy, "Heish! Heish! Heish!" That means shut up, sit down, be quiet. Oh, I believe that not the master of the sea stepped out on board and said, "Heish!" It means stop. Be quiet. Woo! He's in control. His power is unlimited. There's nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing that God cannot do. You can pillow your head tonight on His power that God's got it all under control. And number 5, notice the next verse in the Bible said, "And there was a calm." No, a great calm. There's twice in the text the word "great" is mentioned. A great storm of wind. But a great calm. I'm glad for great problems, there's great grace. I'm glad for great fear, there's great assurance. I'm glad for great failure, there's great mercy. And in a world where fear is great and storms are great and affliction is great and bitterness is great and discouragement is great and disappointment is great, God is greater. There was a great calm. You say, "What did he do?" He heisted it. I call that peace. Peace. And may I say tonight, you can pillow your head. You can pillow your head on His peace. Peace with God. Because I have been justified by faith. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that umpires, governs, rules, calls the shots in my life. And what kind of peace is it? It is peace that passes all understanding. The world didn't give it, and the world can't explain it. But on the other hand, the world can't take it away. I can trust God. I can lean on God. I can look to God. I can trust God in the midst of my storm. I got peace. I can pillow my head on that. I read this the other day. I said, in an art class, an art teacher gave the students an assignment over the weekend to come back Monday with a painting of peace. You take your brush and you paint and put on canvas what you think peace. Bring a picture of peace. Monday rolled around and some students painted sunsets. And that is a peaceful scene. But sometimes sunsets don't bring peace. It reminds you of the failures the previous day. Some brought paintings of sunrises, and that's peace.
I've never seen many of those in my life. But it brings seasons of peace. But not all sunrises, because it reminds you, oh Lord, what have I got to face today? Peace. Finally looked at the last painting, Pastor. And that was a big mountain covered in blackness. Forked lightning, like a snake's forked tongue coming through the clouds. Trees bent double by wind. Large pellets of rain beating on the side of the mountain. And that art teacher said, hey man, are you trying to mock me? I didn't say paint a picture of fear and terror and dread. I said paint a picture of peace. He said, that is peace, sir. The teacher said, I don't see any peace in that. He said, you're not looking close enough. And he handed the instructor a magnifying glass. He said, look real close in the crevice of that rock. And tucked away in the crevice of that rock was a little bird sitting upon a nest just chirping away. He said, sir, that's peace. He said, because peace is not the absence of thunder. Peace is not the absence of lightning. Peace is not the absence of wind. Peace is not the absence of rain. Peace is not even always the absence of fear. But it's trust and it's rest and it's comfort and it's solace in the midst of it. Till the storm does pass away. Brother, you can pillow your head on it tonight. There's peace in the storm. There's peace in the valley. He's the God of all peace. You can pillow your head on that tonight. You can rest on that tonight. Because there's a God bigger than your problems. A God bigger than your trouble. And a God bigger than your trial. And He's about to stand up and show off and show out that He is God. Boy, when Jesus come, when Jesus heist them waters, that was a great calm. Oh, they got to look at one another and say, whoa. Whoa. And I love the word in the King James said, what manner? I looked up that word in the root and it means foreign. He ain't from around here. He is not. Woo! He is not of this world. Where did a man like that come from? He ain't from around here. He's a foreigner. He ain't from around here. He's not one of us. He's different. Where did this man come from? What manner, what foreign kind of man is this? I'll tell you where he came from. He came from glory. And I'll tell you who he is. He's Jesus, the God of glory. And he's worthy of our praise. That's who he is. Pillow. You can pillow your head on that tonight. You can trust God. There's nothing you can't trust God with. I want y'all to come back saying that. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? I was talking to a man the other day, Pastor, and said, Brother Joe, I wish I was like you. I said, no, you don't. He said, yeah, man, I wish I was like you. I said, why? He said, man, you don't ever have any problems. You don't ever get discouraged. You're always on top side. If you really think that about me, God bless you. Don't talk to Mrs. Arthur. She will inform you I'm the biggest whine, cry, baby, fear. I mean, just have a fit. And I'm looking at people that can pitch some pretty good pity parties too. There's women here and all y'all pitch them. So somebody say amen right there now. Praise God. No, I have problems too. One guy said, man, I wished I had a perfect family. I said, well, they don't exist. The Brother Arthur, you just got such a picture. But no. This past year was a hard year on our family. Deep, dark stuff. And when you're a daddy and you care, and if you're a daddy, you ought to care. When one of your children's got a trouble, you've got one. When you hold one of your babies in your arms, even if they are young adults, and they say, Daddy, why? Daddy, why? Daddy, why? That hurts you on the inside. But our family's not only experienced disappointment, difficulty, but we've experienced the peace and the blessing of Almighty God. God had to teach the Arthur family that what you think is your greatest defeat is nothing more than a sovereign act of God to give you the greatest blessing that you've ever had. There's only one way to get from this side to the other side, and that's go right slap dab through that storm. And you can't bypass it. But praise God, I'm glad. I think I'll just yell out at you other little ships. Hey! Swim on, young'uns. I see the shore. Hey, shalom, sailors, I see the shore. Let me encourage you. God's not finished. You're not finished. It's not over. God's still on the throne. Amen. So therefore, I think you know what I'll do. I'll climb on that gearbox for Jesus. I can't do nothing about it anyway. I can't change it anyway. You can pillow your head tonight and trust Him tonight. Let's stand together. Some have already come to the